The Rock Youth is reaching tomorrow's generation today through bringing God's Word to this generation of young people. Listen as we show you God's Word as it applies to your life.
But you know what's going to change us is the Word of God. You know what's going to change you is the Word of God. You know what's going to set you free is the Word of God. You know what's going to set you up for success is God's Word. Not just papers, but this is called the living Word of God, which means that it's living and it's alive. That you can apply it to your life every single day and it's going to apply to you. That when you open up the book, that maybe there's going to be some sentences that you don't understand, but you know what? Keep on reading. Keep on getting into it. I hope you brought your Bibles today. I hope you didn't just come to hear from a woman or from a man or from whoever is preaching tonight, but I hope you came to hear from God because God has something to tell you. And we're going to talk about faith tonight because I am in the middle of faith. You see, we have a youth conference that's coming up and we are on the 10-day countdown. So that means that Pastor Michelle is praying and Pastor Michelle is believing that everything's going to work out, along with probably about 100 other people who are involved in this conference. We have our dance team and our drama team and our band and our AV people and our video editors and our lighting. I mean, it's just like a whole crew that's going on. And so I'm in faith right now because, you know, there's things that have to match up. I have to believe that there's going to be 800 students filling up that main sanctuary. I have to believe that the Spirit of God is going to move and is going to just people are going to have an encounter with God because I'm in faith. And the funny thing about faith is that you don't see it, you don't feel it, but it's there. You see, faith is the definition of faith is the substance of things hoped for, which means if you can see faith, then that's not faith at all. Faith is something that you're believing for that you can't even see. I could say, oh, I believe in a gray, whatever this thing is. Okay, jackety thing. Well, I can't have faith for this because I already have it. You see, faith is stepping out and believing something that you don't already have. And if you're not moving in faith, then your Christianity is very boring. Because Christianity is all about faith. You see, you should be out on the limb all the time. You should be out just barely ready to fall because that's what faith is about. It's about God carrying you and keeping you up. And faith is always there's this tension then and this sort of anxiety, but it's a good, not anxiety, I don't want to, expectation, that's what I'm saying. There's an expectation that you should have inside of you all the time with the life of faith. And that's real Christianity. See, people say that Christianity is boring and you know, I tried God. I tried God, Pastor Michelle. You tried God? Do you think this is a recipe? Did I pass out a chocolate chip cookie recipe at church? No. Are we Costco giving out free samples? No. You don't try God. You do God. You go out on the limb for God. You go after God and dive into God. And that's what faith is. Yeah, it's kind of scary. Yeah, you don't know what's going to happen. That's how I'm at right now. I don't know what's going to happen with this youth conference. Except I know it's one of the largest events in the Rock Youth in 2009. And all I know is that we have churches uniting together like never before. And that's really exciting. And that's really a neat thing in the Inland Empire. And that we get to be a part of it. So go ahead and turn to Matthew 17:17. Really easy. But in Matthew 17:17, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Let me tell you some background about this. There is a man who brought his son to his disciples. His disciples were his followers, his core group, varsity team with Jesus, okay? And so they bring this sick kid to Jesus, and this kid, he has epilepsy. He throws himself into fires. He throws himself on the floor. He gets hurt all the time. So they brought him to Jesus. They brought him to the disciples. But the disciples couldn't heal him. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what was wrong. They couldn't fix the issue. So let's see what Jesus said, because I don't know about you, but there's been things that have been thrown at me and I couldn't fix it and I couldn't figure it out and my prayers weren't answered and what I wanted to happen didn't happen. So God, what's going on? I'm sure you've been there too. So in Matthew 17:17, this is what Jesus says. It's not the nicest answer because the disciples said, Jesus, what did we do? And he said, Jesus answered and said, oh, you faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? You say, oh, I'm glad Pastor Michelle's preaching tonight. No, it gets better, I promise. And it says, how long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon in the kid, and it came out of him, and the child was cured that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? And they couldn't figure out why it wouldn't happen. They didn't know what to do. And so Jesus said, because of your unbelief. because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will be impossible for you. I want to take a look at the first sentence that Jesus said. Why did this happen? Because of your unbelief. You know what another translation says? It says, because you're not taking God seriously. And sometimes that's how we are. Is we expect to come to church once a week, maybe twice a week, maybe once a month, maybe when we feel like it, maybe when we're feeling saved, maybe when there's not a party, maybe when we're, you know, we didn't get high this week, or maybe we did get high this week, so now I got to go to church and repent, you know, and you're doing this, and you know, you're doing all this stuff, and you're trying to work so hard. And God's saying, are you even taking me seriously? Are you taking me seriously? And what does seriously mean? Serious doesn't mean that we come in very serious, and we all start wearing ties, and we all start looking real cool, and we all have the right Christian lingo, and we know all the books of the Bible. That's not what serious means. Serious means, are you going to walk in faith? Because this is a faith thing. And God, you know what Jesus said about us Christians? Us now? That we would do more miracles than he did. That's amazing. And miracles are happening all around us, but we have no idea. I get emails all the time from the church here at The Rock. A woman's husband was going to die. Then they went back in and took some more tests, and the cancer was completely gone. Not going to die anymore. Miracles like that are happening among us, and we don't even realize it. It's because we're starting to take God seriously. I'm taking God very seriously in my life. Because I believe that you guys, this generation is going to have such an amazing part and spreading the gospel all over the world. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. But you've got to take it seriously. You've got to believe it. Because that's what Jesus said, is you've got to take me seriously. Are we taking his word seriously? Are we walking in belief, or are we walking in unbelief? And if we're just playing a game, then we're not taking God seriously. Oh, Pastor Michelle, I took God seriously one time at that summer camp. When I sang that song and I raised my hand, I was serious. Well, how long were you serious? For a week? 2 weeks? When the hot chick who wanted to get naked real fast, and then you stop taking God seriously? I mean, come on. Where are we at with God? Now, I know I'm getting in your face, but it's because I'm taking God seriously. It's because that God is doing stuff in us. And I want to read verse number 21. And he's talking about casting out demons. And you say, oh, I didn't know The Rock Church was this kind. Yeah, we are that kind of church. And you better be glad that there is a church that is doing something like this. Because there's lots of amazing churches that are. But in verse number 20 says, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. It has to be serious. Our conference theme verses are Isaiah 58. And Isaiah 58 is a chapter in the Bible where it's almost like God is screaming at the church, saying, will you take me seriously? Because what I've called you to do, I haven't called you just to fast food, just to fast it. I haven't called you just to stop drinking Starbucks or to stop playing video games or whatever, just to do it. But because I have a job for you. You know, I started to do this, you know, this little thing. I wanted to do an Isaiah 58. And if you guys don't know what that is, that means if you look through our conference brochure and, well, actually, let's just turn there. Can we turn there? Can we be a little spontaneous? Go ahead and turn to Isaiah 58 with me. And in Isaiah 58, I'm going to read you what it says. And this is what it says in verse number 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you should break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor and who are casted out? And when you see the naked, that you cover them, and that you not hide yourself from your own flesh. So here are these verses, and I'm saying, okay, God, I'm taking you seriously. You want me to do these things. I want to do one of those things every single day, God. I want to do one, and I tried really hard to do that. But you know what? I was trying too hard. What I needed to do was say, God, when I fast, I'm believing that this is going to happen, and you're going to bring those people to me because it's a faith walk. I'm believing that I'm going to change people's lives because it's a faith walk. And God's called you to do something. If you think that you're just in church just because it's the right thing to do, you're wrong. You have a job to do. God's called you to do something. God's called you. Go ahead and flip back to Matthew 17. Stay focused here. But in Matthew 17, He's talking about moving mountains. He said, if you'd only have faith of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. Faith of a mustard seed. I remember when I was 8 or 9 years old, and I'm sure you guys have been there too. I looked at a mountain. I lived in Grand Terrace. Anybody from Grand Terrace? Woot, woot. Okay. Blue Mountain. It's like the landmark of Grand Terrace. If you go, that's all that's in Grand Terrace. Okay. But anyways, I looked at Blue Mountain and I said, okay, God, it says that you'll move it. So I believed real hard, but halfway I didn't believe it, you know. I believed real hard and it didn't move. It didn't move. I know one person, and she's an amazing woman of God, and she's, you know, Peter walked on water. So in the middle of winter, in a dirty, nasty pool that hasn't been cleaned because it's winter, she walks off the diving board expecting to walk on water. It didn't happen. But it's a faith walk. You see, you got to throw yourself out there. And it may seem funny, but here's the deal. Is that God's not talking literally about moving mountains. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking spiritually about it. Because there's mountains in your life, and there's mountains in my life. Some of you are fighting a huge mountain of depression. Some of you are fighting a huge mountain of just being lost. You don't know what to do with your life. You're in 10th, 11th, 12th grade, and you don't know what you're going to do. You don't know if you're going to college. You don't know if you're going to marry your girlfriend. You don't know if you're going to get a job. You don't know what you're going to do. And that's a mountain. Some of you have a mountain of an addiction that you need to kick out of your life. And you don't know how to move it. But let's see what Jesus says. The red letters of Jesus clearly say. He said, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will be impossible for you. So I want to talk tonight. I have 3 points about moving mountains because I want to be a mountain mover. And number one is this, is that things that are going to stop you from moving mountains is that number one, if you're a mountain climber, let me explain that to you. Sometimes we get caught up in climbing mountains instead of moving them. Sometimes we say, you know, we're going to try to fix our own problems. Yeah, I have this addiction and you know, I know what the Word of God says and stuff, but you know what? I can't always trust the Word of God, so I'm going to find my own way to fix this addiction. And we try to figure out if we do this and we do that, if we work hard enough, if we pray hard enough, if we have all these ifs and we have these checklists that we try to mark off. But if we simply stand in faith, we'd be surprised at the miracle working power of Jesus Christ. Because it said it in red letters. Jesus said that. But sometimes we want to just climb these mountains. I don't know, do we have that video clip of Mount Everest? I want to show a clip. Mount Everest, one of the highest mountains on this planet. 3 times the height of Big Bear Mountain, right behind you, north. North is to the mountains. 3 times as big as Big Bear Mountain. It has killed people climbing up this mountain. 210 people. 210. You know what Mount Everest has? It has a thing called the death zone. If I were to go hiking, I would not go hiking on a mountain that had a death zone. That is somewhat of a red flag to me. Doesn't sound fun. Doesn't sound exciting. But thousands of people climb this mountain. So 210 people have actually lost their lives. Lots and lots of people have lost toes, fingers, feet, legs, arms. People lose their limbs to climb this mountain. So I want to watch a little video clip. They started to do this reality TV show about, I think it was 8 climbers who climbed up Mount Everest or something on Discovery Channel. So let's just watch this real quick so we can get a glimpse of climbing a mountain.
I have the strength to go to the summit. I don't want you to die.
I got plenty of oxygen. Give me up and back.
You can't climb a mountain on your hands and knees. Now turn around.
I got plenty of leg in me, man.
Get out of the way. Let's go.
What happens when a handful of dreamers take on the mother of all mountains? Strangers to each other, they share a dream they're willing to die for.
There's just something very magical about this mountain.
Biggest, baddest mountain in the world.
Only this man, a living legend, can make their dream come true.
Nothing comes for free here. Now the work starts.
In a two-month ordeal, eight heroic men and one determined leader struggle to the summit of courage and obsession.
We are leaving now.
Yeah.
This is Everest up close, as you've never seen it before. Through the eyes of courageous climbers and exceptional men. The team battles the mountain in one of the most deadly and controversial seasons on record. Climbers will lose fingers and toes to frostbite, and 11 die.
I wouldn't wish summit day upon my worst enemy.
People die.
The ultimate question of the ultimate climb: is Everest worth the price?
Interesting. The guy says 11 people die. And people are lining up to go on this mountain. You see, I like what he said at the end of that clip. He said, is it worth the climb? And whatever mountain you have, I want you to know God is shouting at you saying, I'm not calling you to climb it. I'm not expecting you to have the answer. I'm not expecting you to do all the work for you to figure it out. But God's saying, if you come to me with faith, then you can move that mountain. And that's what God's called you to do.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like more information on The Rock or The Rock Youth, check out therockyouth.org on the web.